Welcome to the Ark Church Podcast. On here, you'll find all of our Sunday and Wednesday messages, as well as classes and special services. If you would like more information about the Ark Church, visit us at thearkchurch.com or download our app available to all app stores. Our heart for you is that you would live for God, grow stronger, and make a difference. Enjoy.
Our series started really off Psalms 121, verses 1 and 2. It says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? Where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. We begin to talk about lifting up your eyes is figuratively speaking. And it's talking really about getting a vision of God's help. And last week we talked about David's confidence in the future. And this was Psalms 27:13. I would have lost heart lest I'd believe that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And so he said, man, I would have been discouraged. I would have looked at situations and just lost heart, been upset, been discouraged, unless I had believed I would see something different. And so we begin to talk about what does it take to begin to see something different, that you're not just seeing it with your eyes. What happens is we look at things from a natural standpoint, what we see naturally, and maybe we don't see a good situation, maybe we see difficulty in our families or difficulty at work, or maybe you're just struggling with some things. And so the tendency is, I could just get so discouraged about that. I could just lose heart. And the enemy is a master at piling things on. It's not like it happens once. It just over and over again. And what he likes to do is just see people just wear down and just lose heart and give up. And this is why sometimes people get just so despondent and so hopeless, but that is never the plan of God for any child of God to lose hope. As long as we have God, we have hope. And so the idea behind this is, how do we get to the place where we're like, what David said is, I would have lost heart unless I believed I'm going to see something good. In other words, I'm looking past what I see here. I'm looking out there and going, you know what? I believe I'm going to see the goodness of the Lord. Oral Roberts got himself in a lot of trouble a number of years ago, back in the 50s. He might have started in the 40s, but he used to say, something good is going to happen to you. I remember just when I was a kid, my mom would watch he used to do television shows, and they had a song, something good is going to happen to you this very day. And people got upset with that. But really what he was doing was, he was very smart, he was an evangelist. He's trying to get people to raise their expectations that something good would happen. If you expect something good to happen, you're going to be in a lot better shape. If you're thinking, hey, something good is happening, we talked about this last week, that when you're getting ready to go on vacation, something good's about to happen to you. And so you're excited about it. And even though you deal with a lot of stuff, you keep looking toward the vacation going, I'm going to get through this because next week I'm on vacation and I'm not worried about any of this. And so that's something good. Have you ever been on vacation? Y'all looking at me like a cow at a new gate. It's an exciting time. So people are excited. They're expecting something good. Here's where we want to get. This is a journey. It's a process. Here's where we want to get. We want to live expectantly. Where we live expecting something good. You know, if you live expecting something bad, you can get depressed. You talk to people and I've heard, you've ever heard this? Oh, I'm worried. About what? Man, too many good things have been happening. And what are they concerned about? It can't stay this good for this long. It's going to get worse. My wife and I have been getting together. We're getting along together for 3 weeks. Something's going to happen here. And oftentimes you have people that just go completely negative because they're not expecting good. I believe as God's children, we can expect good. You say, well, that means I'm never going to have any problems, Alan? No. It just means that when I do have problems, God's going to help me and I'm going to get through them. Amen. And so the problems don't intimidate me in life. And we don't live intimidated because we're people who are expectant. So David said, I would have lost heart lest I believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord. Have you ever met anyone who's lost heart? Have you ever talked with anyone? Maybe you work with people and you can just tell there's no heart in them and they're expecting nothing good. Maybe they've been through some difficult times. Bring them here. They need the gospel. The gospel's good news. The gospel will put hope in you where no one has hope. The gospel will put light in you when it's dark. The gospel will change your life. And there's a lot of us that can testify that, man, I used to be depressed, or I used to be negative, and I used to be so fearful, but I've been walking with the Lord a long time, and those things have begun to change. It doesn't mean I'm perfect, but it means I'm a whole lot better than I used to be. And if we're making progress, guys, listen, that's what this is all about, is let's make progress. Let's keep growing and going. You say, are you still growing at your age, Pastor Allen? Yes, in some areas, not that I want to, but in other areas, yes, yes, I am. It's my clothes keep shrinking in the closet. I put them in the closet, they shrink. I don't know what it is. But spiritually, we can keep growing and growing and growing. And as we get older, we really ought to get better. Yeah, you take it your way. I'm going to get better as I get older. Because if I'm growing in the Lord, I'm going to be more Christ-like next year than I am this year. And if I'm more Christ-like, my wife is going to love living with me a lot more. And so it's a growth thing. And don't get discouraged if you've started in your Christian walk and you haven't grown like you wanted to. Stay with it. Stay in the game. That's half the battle, just staying in it and just not quitting. But don't lose heart. But we're not going to lose heart, because we expect to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So that's a recap from last week. That's free. Let's talk a little bit about confidence in God's goodness. So again, we started looking at Psalms 27, and in Psalms 27, there's just a lot of good, really, it's insight as to how to get to that place where we can start expecting good. Now, here's something. We have an expressed heart for God. Now, this is important. We just don't thank God he has a heart for us. We have a heart for him. Listen to what David says, Psalms 27. We'll read it up here. One thing I have desired of the Lord that I will seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me, he shall set me high upon a rock. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Remember, we're talking about David as the guy who said, I'm expecting to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. But we also need to see, what is it that's in David's heart? A number of years ago, the Lord just impressed upon me to look at David's life and listen to how he talks and listen to what he says. And then you see his expression there. Last week, we talked about how David declared a lot of things about the Lord. Lord, you're my light and you're my salvation. You're the strength of my life. And what I encourage you to do is what I would encourage anyone to do, is begin to declare who the Lord is to us, but then also to declare that we have a heart for the Lord. So David is declaring these things, and he's talking about he wanted to be close to God. He said he desires this of the Lord, to live in fellowship with the Lord and to know him more. And David knew that when trouble came, being close to God was a good thing. Now, here's something that I think is real important, and I don't probably talk about it enough. We look at David and we see him go through all these difficult things, and God helps him through all these difficult things. But David was also a guy who stayed close to God. He stayed, listen, and when you stay close to him, then when trouble hits, it's not like God's way out there and it's like, oh yeah, yeah, I can pray. And people say, has it come to that? Well, we want to stay close to the Lord, that when we're walking close to him and something happens, we're in a lot better position, because we already have a heart for him. We don't just have a heart for what he can do for us.
Amen.
I heard somebody say something, and I agree with him. He said, God will bless you. He'll bless you financially. He'll prosper you. He'll heal your body. He'll help you in your mind if you deal with mental problems. He will help you and all. And begin to list all the blessings of the Lord, surround you with favor. But all these are byproducts of serving the Lord. They're not the goal. Do you hear what I'm saying? Is that, man, I need I need God to help me because I'm so afraid. He will help you. He will help you if you're afraid. But here's what you want more. I want to have a relationship with Him. I'm about to talk about an area. I don't think we see this as much anymore. But anybody remembers that in the 80s, 70s and 80s, when all the multi-level marketing things? I know. Now, if you were a multi-level marketer, just look straight ahead. I'm not talking about you. I don't even know you do it. But I remember when Joy and I came out of Bible school. I was selling cars because I couldn't, and was selling cars for a living. And my resume kind of read spotty, so I'm selling cars. And Joy is watching children in our apartment. And we lived in an apartment over off close to 1960. And she's watching kids. We had kids in our house all the time. One of the families that we were watching invited us to come to dinner. And we were like, oh, that's really cool. Somebody's inviting us to dinner. So we sat down and we had dinner. And after dinner, they moved to the living room and whipped out an easel and flipped that easel over. And we got presented Tupperware. You know, Joy has to talk to me about my face sometimes. She has a real smiley face. I cannot play poker for a living, guys. I just tell you the truth. And you're talking, but here's what I thought. Oh, the only reason you had us to dinner was for the Tupperware, which, by the way, we did not become Tupperware agents. If you are a Tupperware agent, wonderful. Just tear it up and bring all the tithe into the storehouse. But listen, Dad, the thing, in fact, actually, in the early years, we stopped any marketing, multi-level marketing being done in the church. And I wouldn't let any of the staff do it. Because I said, here's the problem. No one knows if they're being good to you because they want you to sell the product. If you're a staff member selling multi-level marketing and you're praying for somebody or you're friendly to somebody, it's easy to mistake, are they being good to me because they love me and this is the love of God, or are they being good to me because they want me to be a multi-level marketer with them? Does that make sense? And so I just stopped. I wouldn't let any staff members. I had staff members, oh, we want to sell this and all this formula and this junk and all this snake oil. And I'm like, no, we're not doing any of that. We're not going to do it. I said, because it muddies up the water. Well, listen, in the same way, we don't want to just come to the Lord just when we're in trouble. It makes us a, you got people in your life like that. Just look again, don't look around, just look straight ahead. But you have people where you see their name pop up on your screen, and the first thing out of your mouth is, what do they want? What do they want? Because the only relationship they have with you is when they want something. And so that's not a great relationship. I mean, it's a relationship, and maybe you're friendly with them, and that's one of them. I'm not advocating that you cut them off. I'm not saying pick up the phone and go, what do you want? But I don't want to be that way with the Lord. David said, I want to seek your face. I want to dwell in your temple. And listen, a lot of people come to the Lord in difficult times, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you've come to the Lord and you're in the middle of a difficult problem, and you're like, I'm turning to the Lord, you are smart. Amen. Good for you. But when He helps you, stay with Him. Amen. And when He helps you, draw closer. Because I promise you, you will need His help again. Amen. And when you need His help again, it's a whole nother thing if you are walking closer to Him because you love Him. Don't you know that the best relationships are not the ones where someone's always pulling, always pulling, always pulling? Here's a good one. When we start the prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your, holy be your name. We start off not with I need, I want. Father, Holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. We're offered an opportunity to come close in 1 Corinthians, 1st chapter, verse 8 and 9. He will keep you strong to the end that you may be free from all blame on the day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns. God will do this, for he is faithful to do what he says. And he has invited you into partnership with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's a relationship. That's a partnership. One translation says fellowship. He's invited us to that. So listen, please don't think this is condemning, but I want you to say that your relationship can take another step. And if it's just been, Lord, I need, that's okay. But you want to get to the point where you're saying, Lord, I love you. I praise you. And here's a good prayer. What can I do for you? Amen. Because when trouble hits, it's good that if you know you're close. And that you're not just, ooh, where's the Lord? No, I'm walking with him. David had an expressed heart for God. David gave praise to God out loud. Praise was not foreign to David. He talked about a sacrifice of praise and shouts of joy. Singing praise to God was his lifestyle. Expressing praise to God is a different way of living. 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, you've seen this list before. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's the quickest way to get into the will of God, is to give thanks and just thank him. Lord, thank you. Thank you for all you've done. Has the Lord ever helped you out of anything? Has ever been good to you at all? I've heard people say, well, you know, the Lord really hadn't done anything for me. I'm like, whoa, hang on. If you are enjoying salvation, if you can lay your head down on the pillow at night and know that if I die before I wake, I know with the Lord I'm going to be with him. If you could recognize that he saved us from our sins, he has done the biggest thing for us. He has recreated us and we're a new creation. So please don't ever say that. The Lord hasn't done anything for me. No, he saved you from an eternal hell. And that is a wonderful thing to be saved from. And so that... Listen, if he never did anything else for us, that is enough. Because eternity is a long, long time. But he has done so much more. Has he ever comforted you when you were hurting? Has he ever sent people around to encourage you? Has he ever blessed you? Has he ever opened a door you could not open by yourself? Has he ever healed your body when the doctors gave up? I'm telling you, we got a good God, and he is deserving of all of our praise. And to say, thank you for all you've done. And guess what? You can do that. You can do that when you're driving in your car. You can do that at home. You don't have to just do it on Wednesdays and Sundays. It's good to do it. It's good to come together. In fact, sometimes when you come in and you feel you're dragging in, but when you're with the body of Christ and we're worshiping and thanking God, it's a lot easier to jump into the flow. But if you can do that, you can do that by yourself. You can do it at home. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. I'm making it through about halfway of my notes. So here's what we'll talk about next week. I want to talk about a trust in God's care for us. Well, we got time. We'll talk about it tonight. Trust in God's care. So we got an expressed heart for God. We've got giving praise to God. And you can do it out loud. Now, just stop a second. I hear people say, well, I'm not very expressive, Alan. I get it. I understand. I'm not saying you have to do it in the middle of the street. But I'm saying just learn to do it privately. And just do it in your own private time. And just give thanks to God. You can just drive down the street and go, Lord, thank you. Thank you, you've been good. You know, sometimes I notice after a day here, I know you think that working here on church staff, that after a day I go home because it's been angel choirs and nothing but peace. No, sometimes I feel like, whew, I feel drained going home. Anybody ever felt that way? And it's just kind of easy to kind of go into mind rest, and you're just kind of just thinking about nothing. One of the best things you can do is just start to thank God. And you might want to just kind of stir it up. Lord, thank you. And you begin to thank him for what he's done. I mentioned this other Sunday. It's just good sometimes Joy and I would just get together and talk about what God has done for us and how he's helped us. And one of the biggest things we thank him for is the fact that we've been able to stay married for 43 years. We're thankful for that. We don't pat ourselves on the back, because every time someone says, oh, y'all been married for 43 years, that's so good. Give God glory and praise for that. Listen, we can thank God that if you walked in here under your own power tonight, that's enough to give God thanks. If you take a deep breath of air when you walk out, that's enough to give God thanks. We got a lot to thank him for. And by developing thankfulness, here's another thing too. It is a great way, if you haven't seen some things that you're praying about and asking God about, giving thanks is one of the best ways to bridge that gap. Between I prayed here and I'm looking for the answer here, what do I do in the middle? One of the best things you can do is just say, Lord, I want to thank you for your goodness. Thank you for what's coming. Remember, we would have lost heart unless we believed we'd see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So here's a key. Why don't we thank him now that we're going to see his goodness in the land of the living? Let me go talk to this side. There's the point of that. Instead of waiting till we see the goodness of the Lord, we're thanking him now. It's like, thank you, Lord. I'm going to see your goodness. I'm going to see your goodness on my job. I'm going to see your goodness in my family. I'm going to see your goodness. You're going to help me in some areas. One of the biggest things we say around here all the time, in fact, we've got the whole staff saying it, is the Lord's helping us. Amen. We'll hit a block or something, and somebody will chime in and go, the Lord's helping us. Isn't that better than going, dear God, what are we going to do? The Lord's helping us is a whole lot better way to go. I can get happy just talking about giving thanks. All right. Here's something that I think I'm going to even touch on Sunday, because I think it's so key. It's the trust in God's care. Psalms 27, verse 10. Look at this. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Now, here's something that I think this is something that we have to give David credit for. David had a huge belief that God cared for him personally. He trusted that God loved him. He trusted that God cared for him. He said, listen, when your mother and father forsake you, and I know some people have had that happen. Maybe you've had it happen because you became a Christian. You're the only one in your family that's become a Christian. And your father and mother have forsaken you. I tell you, God will take care of you. He'll take you up. But that's a good thing to believe. That's a good thing to believe. He cared about me that much. Now you think, well, sure, David would say that. He was a king and he was awesome and he killed giants. Do you realize when David was in his family, they forgot him? They're having a big family feast. And Samuel, the prophet, has come in. This is a big deal. Everybody put their nicest stuff on. They got a feast. They killed the fatted calf. They got good things happening. And Jesse, David's father, has got all seven of his sons lined up there before Samuel. One of them, the oldest one, big, tall, good-looking guy. And they're just like, well, look at this. This is the Lord's anointed. Remember, Samuel came to pick the next king. And he went through all seven of Jesse's boys. And he said, is this it? He's like, David. How we got David? David must not have been the shining star of his family. Or they wouldn't have forgotten him. They wouldn't have said, oh, we got the baby David. We're going to bring him out now. No, but they're like, oh yeah, David, where's David? Oh, he's out with the sheep. They didn't even invite him. So this guy it's not like he was well thought of. His brothers just got ticked off at him. Remember, he goes down and he's looking at Goliath and said, who's going to kill this uncircumcised Philistine? His older brother said, who'd you leave those few sheep with in the wilderness? You punk. I added that, but that's kind of what he was saying. don't say, what translation is the pastor reading? That's the Clayton translation of what he just said. But what I'm saying is this. David David was not the shining star until God came into his life. Amen. And when David's out there watching sheep, he's talking to the Lord. You know, if you're forgotten and you think, man, I got nothing going on, my family doesn't even like me. But you do. And you're my shepherd. Amen. And I shall not want. You'll lead me. You'll guide me. You'll go with me. And David developed a confidence in God that his family could not put in him. And so it doesn't matter what your family thinks about you. It matters what God thinks about you. And he thinks a lot about you. Some of you have had so much problems with your family. And you're like, but my family, my family, my family. Listen, the one you need to be most concerned about is your Heavenly Father. And he loves you and cares for you. That even if your family will reject you, he will take care. He will love you. And that's comforting. To so many people who have such dysfunction in their families, to know that God cares and loves for them that much. We'll talk a little bit about that next week, because we want to talk about how do I even develop any confidence in God's love for me. And we'll talk about that. That's a good thing to know. Would you bow your heads with me just for a moment? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. If you came this evening and said, you know, Alan, I don't even know if I have a relationship with the Lord, or I'm just not sure. Or maybe you said, I used to be close to the Lord. I used to walk with him, and I've gotten away from him. Life happened, and I got away. But I don't want to stay that way. So his heads are bowed and eyes are closed. No one leaving. We're going to pray. And if that's you, and you say, you know what, I want to come. I'm not going to have you stand up. I'm not going to have you come down to the front. Well, we're going to pray a prayer. It's sitting right in your chair, right where you are, or watching online. Boy, this is a prayer where you can connect with the one who loves you more than anyone else and who cares for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I am going to ask you this one thing. If that's you that I'm talking to, and you have the courage and the humility to say, Alan, that's me. Would you pray for me? Would you just shoot your hand up real quick across the auditorium? Thank you. Thanks. Thanks. Thank you for that. Thanks. Yeah, thanks. Anybody else? Great. Thank you. Appreciate your courage. You can put your hands down now. We're going to pray. If you wanted to lift your hand, just somehow feel like you missed it. It's okay. Listen. God sees hands, but really what he sees is hearts. Hands are good because hands are an acknowledgement. But your heart is what he's interested in. So we're going to pray this prayer. We're going to pray it out loud. And I encourage you to pray with us. If you're watching online, if you're by yourself, pray this out loud with us. If you're with others, pray it quietly. We're going to pray with you as a church family in here. Say, Dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior. I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord, as my Savior, as the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven. I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ because I've said yes to you. Heavenly Father, thank you for those that prayed that prayer. Father, for those who have stepped out of darkness, spiritual darkness, into the light, for those who've come back home, we just rejoice with them. What a great decision. And Father, for the rest of us, thank you for your care for us. Thank you. We don't tell you enough, but thank you for all that you've done. We give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We hope this message has blessed you. Don't forget to check us out on all the social platforms. We're uploading encouraging content on a regular basis. For more information, go to thearcchurch.com. Have a great week.